And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day, Rebel. Oh, guess what sound's going to go with that one? Rebel. We'll see. And then also, we just do the just do it. Ever heard that? The New Testament law. There's a New Testament law. The New Testament law, and we close with open the door.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing politics. We did enough of that last hour. If you need your fill, go check out the podcasts, kprz.com podcast link. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, we're going to cover so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473-866-KPRAISE, any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation, because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break, get the music out of my ear.
Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Some of the most spiritually intimate times a husband and wife share happen on their knees.
This is Real Family Life with Dennis Rainey for Wednesday, May 3rd. We asked this man what he learned while attending one of Family Life's marriage conferences.
Pray with your wife. That's something I used to do 22 years ago. Then we sort of just with kids and careers just stopped doing it. But we're going to start that again tonight.
Praying together as a couple is the most important spiritual discipline in marriage. Unfortunately, many men are afraid to take the lead in praying with their wives. I know of a woman who wished for years that her husband would pray with her. They were faithful churchgoers, but had no shared prayer life. One day, though, he surprised her by taking her by the hands and tenderly asking her if she would pray with him. They bowed their heads, and this private, reserved man began to pray for his wife. I believe that the bells rang and choirs sang in heaven because of this man's obedience in inviting God into the center of this marriage relationship. One final thought. Men, I feel it's our responsibility as husbands to initiate prayer in our marriages. If you're not in the habit of praying with your wife, why don't you try it tonight? I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real family life.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Don't forget, if you want to reach the show, davidspoon at kprz.com. Additionally, I would say that if you are interested in checking out the book, we have the Church Disappointment, His Appointment book. You can find that under hisappointment.com. That's the website there, hisappointment.com. And then, of course, our Facebook, The David Spoon Experience, which I would encourage you to check out, or just wait till the end of one of the 2 hours every day, and I usually just share whatever it is I posted. That saves you the time of having to go onto social networks, right? There you go. Just saving you time, saving you energy. My goal. That's what I live for. Okay, well, not really. All right, let's get ready. We have our very first portion that we want to talk about called Rebel Rebel.
Rebel Rebel, I'm the day you know.
That was really good, except when it first came on, it blew out my ear. I think it's somewhere here on the desk. Hold on. Let me put it on. Hold on. Okay, great. All right. Let's get to it. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Here it is, the request from the Lord. Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over the people of Israel. So now listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belong to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. You get the impression from Samuel till Saul from God, don't leave anything at all. Do you get that idea? Destroy all the men, women, children, infants, cattle, sheep, camels, and donkeys. Wipe out, annihilate them. You're thinking, that seems so mean. About right now, go back about 5 years. How mean does it seem to have done that to ISIS? Wipe out every man, woman, child, infant, cattle, sheep, camels, donkeys. Oh, and save tens of thousands of life by eliminating about 500 in the beginning. Okay, I get it. Here's the review from what Saul was supposed to do. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry. He cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and met with Saul. But he was went up to meet with Saul. Sorry, but he was told Saul has gone to Carmel because there he has set up a monument to his own honor. Now, I want you to catch that. God told Saul to do something. Saul didn't do what God said, but was so impressed with himself, he set up his own monument. You know what a monument is like when you set it up for yourself? Can I help you? Have you ever heard, Tugboat Todd, of the Academy Awards? Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Academy Awards are actors celebrating actors about their acting, the height of narcissism. And every single scenario like that, people celebrating themselves amongst themselves, with themselves, because of themselves. It's like, wow. So here is God's response. It's like, you didn't even do what I wanted. He didn't even do what I wanted. And then he set up a monument to himself. I'm like, this is insane. So then in verse 13, Samuel reaches Saul and Saul goes, Lord, bless you. I've carried out what the Lord's instructions were. But Samuel said, then what's this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? In other words, God said, wipe it out completely. Saul did not do what God said. Then he built a monument to his failure. And then when he's reviewing it with Samuel, he's like, didn't I do a great job? And Samuel's like, there's sheep noise. there's cattle noise. Verse 20 and 21 tell you what was going on. I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king, and the soldiers took the sheep and the cattle for plunder. See, now, you see, God said, wipe everybody out. Don't leave anything. Right? Watch this. Take the apple, throw it in the garbage. Okay, watch. Take the banana and peel it and throw the peel away. Right? Do what I say. But instead, Saul let the king live and let the soldiers keep the sheep and keep the cattle. But he's going, no, I obeyed the Lord. Here is the response and where the rebel part comes. Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. You see, you can try and use sacrifice, but you can make it religious. But obedience is response. And that's the line we want to put in there. You can make sacrifice religious, but obedience is response. And there are things that God wants you and I to do. And he just wants us to do them. And instead of doing them, we act like we did them. We build a monument to how we were so good and what we did. But in actuality, God knows we didn't even do it. So if you're looking for an example, let's use one that you can completely grasp. So perhaps you have a neighbor or somebody you know that the Lord has been pushing you to share a little bit about your faith with. And you go to this neighbor and you're having some kind of fellowship or some kind of group. And in the conversation, you say, yeah, isn't Jesus swell? And then you just go on and do whatever you're doing. And then in your mind, I've done it. I've shared Jesus with the person because I said, isn't Jesus swell? I did a really good job bringing the gospel to my neighbor, when in fact, you know, you didn't actually do it. And before you sit there and say, that never happens to me, you can take that in a multitude of categories. And to be honest about it, we do it in a lot of different ways. It's kind of like a picturesque framing of Christian obedience. You know, it's kind of like, pray for me. I'll pray for you. Well, I answered a prayer. Wow, I got the answer to prayer. And you never actually prayed for the person. And then they say, thank you for praying. And you go, you're welcome. That's the perfect example. Pray for me. You got it, man. I will pray for you. Then you never pray for the person. They get the answer they're seeking because they prayed and other people prayed. They come and thank you for praying. You never prayed, but you say, thank you. That's exactly what we're talking about. That's it. You think, well, no, because that's Saul and that's Samuel and that's God and he was the king. Okay, but your Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ and you're a child of the king and the Holy Spirit lives in you. That's not an excuse. That guy's position is not our excuse. When you take credit for something you didn't do, you built a monument to yourself, and it's like you're acting like you're obedient and responsive, and you're not. Obedience is being responsive. It's doing something. Your faith is demonstrable, not just a verbal concept that floats in the air. You behave based on your faith. You respond based on your faith. You don't respond based on your lack of operating in faith. That's just it. And say it all you want, that's it. All right, we're going to take a short break and come back because we're going to look at the just do it part. And what does that mean? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. I lost my way now. It's breaking me in two. I'll give this broken heart to you. And
local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. The first recorded sermon Jesus ever gave is the Sermon on the Mount. In it, Jesus presents the godly attributes which mark a true believer and inspire true happiness. We call them the Beatitudes. They teach that happiness is much more than favorable circumstances or pleasant emotions. As your life manifests the virtues of humility, repentance, gentleness, righteousness, mercy, purity of heart, and peace, you will experience happiness and a joy that even severe persecution can't destroy. If you haven't read the Beatitudes lately, may I suggest you turn to Matthew 5 and read them, and then pray for that level of happiness to be yours? This is John MacArthur praying you're continuing to be portraits of grace.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about pro-life legislation being pushed in more states.
We have seen in the last 10 years, a seismic shift at the state level, where we now have, thinking off the top of my head, I think it's 23, somewhere in the neighborhood between 22 and 24 states that have what's called a trifecta. You've got the Republican controlled House, Senate, and governor's office. And these states, not all of them, but a vast majority of them actually have conservatives, and they are moving through pro-life bills. We've seen more pro-life bills move through the state in the last 10 years than any time since Roe v. Wade. And that's because folks like you have gotten involved. Some of you have run for office. I know that because you've told us. But you're influencing the process.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
You know there's nothing I won't do to help relieve you of those burdens that you were going through.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We are actually going to get right to our DDD because there's just so much material I'm going to try and cover, and it's just like blowing my mind. There's just that much stuff. And I think do we have a sound for this one? We do have a sound for this one, and this one, by the way, is entitled Just Do It.
Do it.
Will you stop with that?
Come on, do it, do it, do it, do it,
do it, do it, do it.
All right, just do it. You're thinking, what? The first segment we talked about, rebel. Talking about Saul, who was asked by God to do a task, wipe everything out. It's kind of like take the mower and cut all the grass.
He took the mower and cut some of the grass and brought some of the grass back. And God said, that's not what I asked you to do. And I think we try to make things more, you know, I don't know. I don't know if we try to soften what it is we're supposed to do or homogenize it or massage it. I'm not really sure why it is we take that which God tells us to do and we alter it. In Saul's case, he thought he did such a good job, he built an altar to it, a monument to himself. And then that would be that same thing that we mentioned, that if somebody asks you to pray and you say, sure, I will, and then they get an answer to prayer and then come back and say thank you and you say you're welcome, that's you building a monument to yourself but not doing what you were supposed to do. So that's not difficult. In this case, we're going to see that just do it really means just do it, because this comes out of 2 Kings 5, 1 through 14. I'll kind of buzz through it because the story is fabulous. Naaman was a commander in the army of the king of Aram, and he was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victories. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. That's not good. A band of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who's in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. So he sends a letter. Guess what's going on? So the king has got a favorite, warrior that he has, but the dude's got leprosy. In one of their raids, his wife gets a new servant girl, a new slave, and the servant girl goes, man, if the master had kind of hung out with the prophet, it would be so much better because he would cure him of the leprosy. And so she's talking about Elisha. Now remember, there's Elijah. He's the first one. Then Elisha. Elisha is the replacement or the protege. And so then the king sends a letter to the king. The king of Aram sends a letter to the king of Israel going, here's money. Here's my servant. Make sure your prophet heals him. This is like, you just have to get what's going on. You're like going, what? I mean, none of this makes sense. Everybody should be either laughing or, losing their minds at this point. So the king of Israel is freaking out because he thinks that this is just a play for war, which probably is not a bizarre response. But then Elisha hears about what's taking place and then gives this response to the king of Israel. Why are you tearing your robes? Have the man come to me. Then he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman then goes with some soldiers, and he goes to Elijah's house. And he's like, okay, here I am. And Elijah then does this. Elisha sent a messenger to him. Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure my leprosy. So you're just getting what you got to get here. So Naaman was mad because Elisha didn't come out and go abracadabra over his skin. Right? Instead, Elisha sent out a servant to see him. Elisha didn't even get up to see him. Right? So Naaman's all insulted. Naaman went away angry. And he was mad because he said, are not Abna and Pharpar better rivers in Damascus than anything that's in Israel? Couldn't I just wash in them and be cleansed? Now his servant said to him, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? Well, then how much more then if he just tells you, go in the water and be clean? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored to him, and he became clean like that of a young boy's skin. Now, here's the whole point. Naaman's this great and powerful man, forceful general, and he is waiting for the prophet to come out, oh, great Naaman, and here comes the mighty power of God Almighty to clean you, and here... And Elijah is like, tell the guy to go wash in that river over there. Tell him to go up and down, up and down, up and down. And Naaman gets mad because he's supposed to have something more honorable. But all he had to do was just say, okay. And as soon as he said, okay, what happened? He got healed.
He was looking for something greater to be given to him, or he was looking for the task he was assigned to be something better, but he was just supposed to do it. Okay, go dunk your head seven times in that thing right there, and when you come up the seventh time, you're going to be fine. That's like the Jewish doctor. Take two aspirin, because is it going to help? No, but it couldn't hurt. I mean, just do it. It's like this mentality that there has to be something greater to be done in order to really walk in obedience, and that's incorrect. Do we not understand the parable of the two sons? I'll just ask it. Do we not understand? You got the one son who the father goes to him and he says, son, you know, I want you to go into the vineyard and work. And he goes, nope, not going to do it. Not going to happen. And then he thinks about it and he goes, okay, I'll do it. And then he goes to the other son. He says, go, son, work in the vineyard. And he goes, absolutely, dad, I'm right on it. But that one never goes and does it. Well, only one of those two were obedient. Now, even though the son initially said no, he changed his heart and mind and did what he was supposed to do. You see, what we want to do is make it more complex than it is. There was this minister that was talking about the Lord, and I mentioned this before, and people got upset, but it's not my story. I can't tell you whether it actually happened or not. I don't think it's like an urban legend, but it's an interesting story because I did hear him tell it, but whether he was borrowing it, I cannot answer. But he went and felt like the Lord woke him up at 6 in the morning, and he was supposed to go out to a park. And he goes out to a park, and there's somebody there, and he ends up sharing Jesus Christ, and the person becomes a Christian. You know, one of those, like, you know, divine appointments. And then sometime in the next week or so, he felt like he was supposed to get up again, and he was supposed to go to the park again. He went out to the park, and you know what? Nothing happened. And when he was trying to figure it out, he believes he discovered that the Lord was, like, saying, just do what I tell you to do, whether there's something there or not. Just do it. And I think there's a resistance for us to do it because we don't see the full picture. We don't know if it's, you know, worthy of attention. Look, if the Lord tells you to do something, do it. Which means if he tells you to pray for your enemies, you pray for them. The people that annoy you, you know, in the Holy Spirit, you know already you're supposed to pray for them and not against them. Just answer the question. How many times have you done it? Well, you know you're supposed to just obey the Lord. Just do it. You know you're supposed to be generous with your heart and your time. You know you're supposed to be uplifting with your words. You know you're not supposed to be hating on. You know, you can pick sides and you can root for your side, but you don't have to despise the other side into obliteration, you know, in any kind of like competition kind of thing. Here's the reality. If the Lord's told you to do something and you're not doing it, then here's the answer. You're not just doing it. That's all. As the Lord told you to do anything, as the Holy Spirit urged you to do anything that you're not doing, just do it. All right? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back with the next section called New Testament Law. 'Cause in his hands I'm changing to a servant of God.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hi, this is Sue Freeze of Ecola Termite and Pest Control, but you can call me the Termite Lady.
And I'm Tyson Freeze, Sue's son and manager at Ecola. Mom, I know how much you love providing true value for our customers' homes, and I'm proud to announce that we are now providing tap insulation.
Talk about value. You're right, Tyson. Now Ecola can offer pest control that basically pays for itself with 20 to 30% energy savings. Tap is a recycled paper product that kills pests while reducing energy bills, providing a warmer home in the winter and a cooler home in the summer. Ask about Tap Insulation by calling 877-332-BUGS. That's 877-332-BUGS.
Tap is an absolute no-brainer and a real value for anyone who wants to eliminate insects in their home while lowering utility bills.
That's why you should call Ecola Termite and Pest Control today. 877-332-BUGS or online at termitelady.com.
Ecola, powerful termite and pest control.
As gentle as a butterfly.
877-332-BUGS or termitelady.com.
One politician said, we should fire, fine, and jail those who believe in traditional marriage until they relent. This is Jim Garlow. Here's the bottom line. We are far more vulnerable as Bible-believing people than we've ever been. Pastors are openly talking about how long it might be before one of us actually goes to jail for refusing to marry homosexuals. This has knocked the props out from under us, but it's causing us to have a healthy clinginess to God. It's causing me to think differently in the organizing and orchestrating of my life, what my future may hold. We're entering into a new season, and if we approach this season correctly, biblically, it puts us in a great posture for receiving God's grace. Think about it. God's corporate holiness released in the Church of Jesus Christ in America, in our local churches, in a way we've never known. Get the details at jimgarlow.com and be prepared to live out your faith.
April showers bring May flowers. Yeah, you've heard that before. But did you know that the Bible is like a rain shower? No, seriously. That's what the writer of the book of Isaiah says in chapter 55. Look at the similarities. Rain falls from the sky, giving fresh water to the earth and helping nature to grow. The Bible also comes from above. It's the Word of God given to us in 66 books written over many centuries. And the Bible helps you and I to grow spiritually. Rain has a purpose, to refresh our world. And God promises that, like the rain, His Word will always accomplish its purpose, to give us joy and peace through faith in Jesus Christ. So, how can you dive in and start soaking up God's Word? We'll help you get started. Go to findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Brief reminder, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Don't forget to go to KPRZ.com itself. You've got the half-price tuitions. You've got the different events that are taking place, plus some of the different ministries that we're working with. Good time had by all. Also, the book, His Appointment. If you've ever gone through something spiritually that you're like just shaking your head going, why did God let me go through that? You want to go to hisappointment.com and perhaps you can find an answer or two. I would know because I wrote the book. That book, not the book, the book. Never mind. All right. So in the very first segment, we talked about rebel. Being rebellious and not doing the things that the Lord wants, kind of like Saul when God gave him instructions to do something and he kind of did it and thought, well, that was good enough. And the Lord said, no, it's not good enough. And he removed Saul from being king. Wow. In the last segment, we talked about the reality that sometimes God wants you to just obey, just do it. And there's Naaman, who is a strong general who was being really irritated by Elisha. Because Elisha simply wanted him to dunk into the river seven times, and he thought that Naaman thought there should be something more grandiose in the process. Finally, when he capitulated and then just yielded and went down seven times in the river and came back up seven times, he was healed by the power of the Lord. Because it doesn't always require dancing and singing and putting on a production to get a response from the Lord. Sometimes you just do what God wants you to do. Stop making it so complex. The parable of the two sons in Matthew 21 is about two sons, one that says no but does it, one that says yes but doesn't do it. Jesus points out only one of them was obedient. Okay, we can get that. So we need to understand that in this process, in this simplicity, we have a requirement. You have people in your life that have authority over you. It's one of those reality checks that you better kind of focus into. For those that think there is nobody above me, you know, I am the master of all of my domain, you've just demonstrated that sin is your master, so you've lost. And then for those that are free in Jesus Christ, you're supposed to enslave yourself under righteousness as an instrument of God, so you've lost. There's nobody that's not enslaved in some capacity, whether to the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. One way or another. It's not going to matter much. in that process, you are required to have an obedience. Now, in that obedience, you're going to find out that you have different structures and different levels of authority. You might have authority in your family. You might be a son and you have a father, and you want to honor your father and respect those. You might be a person in the workplace, and you have to be responsive to your boss. If you're not responsive to your boss, the check doesn't get signed and the rent doesn't get paid. It's like, okay. And in many ways, the employer-employee relationship is like the Old Testament biblical master and slave. It's nothing like American slavery, which had nothing to do with anything in the Bible. But that employment-employer relationship is pretty akin, pretty close. Now we're in the situation where we have to determine, in all of these authorities, to whom shall we respond to first and or most? So if the government told you, here is a requirement that we have for our people who are a part of our civilization, you would most often have to respond or do that, hence paying taxes would be a nice example. And the scripture says, you know, pay the taxes, respond to the authorities that are in place. However, if that same government said murder babies, you would be like, well, no way. I'm not doing that. Why? Because there's a higher authority that you have to respond to. And when the lower authority is at odds with the higher authority, you respond to the higher authority, period. This, you know, I remember reading an article from somebody in a political journal saying that everybody has to do exactly what the government says, no matter what the Bible teaches them. Adolf Hitler much? I mean, it's just so stupid. It's like dumb. Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through 20. I use that word a lot, don't I? I can't help it. Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through 20. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. Okay, God gets the obedience call first. Right? These guys, the big disaster they were doing is they were talking about Jesus. Then the government said, you can't do that, which, by the way, you should be aware is something that is likely forthcoming in this country. And they said, no, we're going to keep talking about Jesus because that's what he wants us to do. And obeying him is more important than obeying you. And remember, the Sanhedrin were a powerful political and religious party. They were not just religious, and they were not just political. They had a lot of authority in the community, a lot. But the idea is that you respond to God first and foremost, and always. Here's what Jesus said in John 14, 23. Jesus replied, well, I guess we're going to miss the sound. We'll do it later. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. So Jesus qualifies our demonstration of our love for him by us doing what he says to do. Remember last segment we said, just do it? You just do it. And if the Lord has given you something to do, you do. And if what he has given you to do is in the framework of scripture, and you know it's the Lord commanding, you do it. And if people don't like it, too bad. I've actually had somebody say to me, you shouldn't preach the gospel to Jewish people because they might convert to Christianity, and we can't have more Jews converting to Christianity. You know what my response was, right? I don't even have to tell you, do I? I mean, seriously? My response was something about taking a long walk off a short pier. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, are you crazy? There's no way I'm not going to do what the Lord sets before me. No matter what you, society, the world, the press, anybody think, you can't do that. You got to do what the Lord tells you to do. And the scripture says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Ooh, so be aware of that. So what we do know is that if we obey the commands, we demonstrate we love Jesus by doing what he says. Okay, cool. What were the big New Testament laws? Well, okay. Matthew chapter 22, verses 33 through 40. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with a question. What's the greatest commandment? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Everything, all the 639 or 637, I've actually heard like five different numbers. I don't care. All of that rests on those two. And Jesus said, these are the two. These are the summation of all the law and the prophets. By the way, not just the law, which is Moses, but the prophets, which is Elijah and Elisha. All of it hangs on these two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The purpose of the heart, soul, strength, and mind, or heart, soul, and mind, is just the all of you. And then you love your neighbor like you love yourself. That's the New Testament law. Those are the commandments from Jesus. If we love Jesus, we'll do it. Now, love does not mean feely-gooey, feely-feely-gooey, feely-feelies, like the world tries to tell you that love means, because love in your child means you discipline your child. So don't get those all. See, the world takes words and squishes them, makes them like something that they're not. I don't know what this means, or I don't know what that means, really. It's like, come on. I don't know what the means. Okay. See, here's the problem. The problem is God's sense of love involves discipline, correction, instruction, comfort, wisdom, insight, guidance, protection. Those are all love. Not feely, feely, gooey, gooey feelings. Scripture never tells us to gooey, gooey, feely, feely, gooey, gooey, the agape love of God. Because agape is not a love of feeling, but a love of decision. It's completely different. You want to show that you really love Jesus? Do what he said to do. Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. We're going to come back and close it out with the big call from the Lord to all of us to open the door. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760- 846-8610 and donate today.
It's prom season, usually a time filled with touching stories of a joyous rite of passage. Unfortunately, today's story is more like a nightmare after a school in Tennessee denied prom tickets to a student with cerebral palsy. This is truth itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. She has her dress, her date, and an extensive hair and makeup plan. It's all in anticipation of her high school prom. But a Middle Tennessee teen was denied tickets over circumstances she can't control. She has cerebral palsy. Ashley Hamblin is a senior at Cheatham County Central High School. She said when she went to buy tickets to the prom, she was told it was illegal. The school district said it was part of their homebound policy. A statement to a local TV station reads, "The Cheatham County School District's top priority is to ensure all students are exposed to a challenging and safe educational experience." One of the guidelines states, "The doctor recommends homebound services for a student who is unable to attend school due to serious illness or injury. Therefore, the student placed on homebound should not return to his or her school or any other Cheatham County school for any reason, including extracurricular activities." Ashley's response, "I am sorry you deem me too sick to come to prom." Ashley's grandmother, Glenda Turner, said she's taking it worse than Ashley, calling the decision very hurtful, adding, "It makes you angry, but she's happy in a sense because I know just by talking to her, she's okay with it, and it makes me proud of her." Well, these days, health insurance is incredibly expensive, especially if you don't have coverage through your employer. If you're concerned about the costs or the ethical dilemmas of insurance, here's great news. There's an affordable, God-honoring alternative called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable, biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Stop that boy, don't let him go. Just stop that boy, don't let him go. But I feel like breaking.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Thank you for joining us through this multiple segment teaching. Very tough teaching for some people because we're talking about obedience, and obedience is a requirement that the Lord puts on us, and it's not always easy to hear. And if it's something you know very well, it's not bad to get a reminder. I mean, there are some things I think in 40 years of being a Christian that I do good in. There are some things that I see that I have made improvement in. There are some things that I don't do well. And then there's a couple things I always think I'm going in reverse on that I'm just like, I could really use some work here. But I'm reminded, it's not just me reminding you, it's me reminding me that this, you know, it's a call from the Lord. There's a requirement. First segment, we talked about rebel, just that. This notion that we do a little bit of what God tells us to, and then we celebrate it like we've done everything that God has told us to do. And it's not so. It's just not the truth. We illustrated that through the life of Saul and his exchange with Samuel. And then we talked about the simplicity of Naaman, who was a leper, who was asked to do something simple by Elisha, but was offended by that. And even though it was something simple, he thought he should be more honored. There should be more, you know, grand stage behind it all. And sometimes the Lord just wants us to do that which he sets before us and just do it. Don't, you know, it's like you don't need a parade to do what God tells you to do. Just do it because that's what he asked you to do. And then we looked in the last segment on the realistic part of our walk, that there's different authorities in our life, but the first and foremost authority in our life is God Almighty. And we have a commission from the Lord over all other authorities in our existence to obey God first. We ought to obey God above man. We must obey God rather than human beings. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. There's a requirement there. And then Jesus in John 14:23 said, if you love me, you're going to do my commandments. And then we know in Matthew 22, he defined those commandments, breaking down the fullness of the law and the prophets on two commandments, which is loving God and loving your neighbor as you love yourself. So we come to the bottom line of this obedience responsibility. This is really how you become the most successful Christian you can be. And in our society, we think of success as a bank account, or the size of a house, or the power or level of influence that you have. And we think of it in this reach capacity. But in the economy of God, success is defined as obedience. It's not defined as how big your bank account is, or how big your house, or how many cars you have. God's success is you doing what he says. That's how he defines success for you and for me. And so we get into that definition, by the way, of obedience. It's a kau, which means to hearken, a kau-o or a kau, to hearken or to hear with a response. In other words, obedience is you hear something, here's the key, and do something. You hear it, and you do it. Remember, we did that whole segment, just do it. You hear it, and you do it. The extension of that in the Greek, hypakou, means answering the door. Now watch, this is fascinating. Because answering the door, when do you answer the door? Just think about this. You go in your house and you're in the living room and you're watching television or listening to music or reading your Bible, whatever. You know when you answer the door is when somebody knocks or rings the bell. That's when you answer the door. You respond to the noise that you hear, the sound that you hear. And in the Greek element of hapakau, that's really answering the door. Now, that brings into mind Revelation 3:20, by the way, which is, here am I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. God is knocking on the door of our hearts. By the way, in Revelation 3:20, though people use that as an altar call, and they've been doing it for years, that was not written to non-Christians, but to Christians, Church of Laodicea, to repent and to come back towards the Lord. Not even first-time decisions, but renewal decisions. So now you can understand that the Lord standing at the door of your heart, knocking on your door as a believer, and our job as he's knocking on our door is to answer the door and let him in. That open the door process is how we function in obedience. When God comes knocking on the door of your heart for you to do something he wants you to do, and you open the door and do it, you're obedient. When you ignore his sound and don't open the door and don't let him in, you're disobedient. It's not that, that is the whole of it. And it's, you know, I think there's a complexity we try and create it. No, you do what the Lord tells you to do. Now, there's a lot of things in Scripture for us to do and a lot of things that we need to be working on and areas to work on. Here's how I encourage people to zero in on what's going on. What is the Lord working on in your life? What is he, you know, what is he leading into you, guiding you, trying to teach you? And no, him teaching you is not a 5-minute process for you to live 60 years of it. Usually it's years and years and years of teaching. I mean, he spent 3 years with the disciples just for them to get the message that he was it. It's a long time to get the main message. Now, taught all those other things. They were all recorded. But the point was that they needed to catch that it was about Jesus. Took 3+ years for them to get that. And the resurrection. And still after the resurrection, some doubted. We need to continually work on us opening the door as the Lord knocks, and respond by being obedient and demonstrate our love that we have for Jesus Christ. It's what you got to do, because that's what he asks us to do. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A $1.1 trillion spending bill to keep the government running has passed the House by a vote of 309 to 118. New York Congresswoman Nina Lowey, the House Appropriations Committee's top Democrat, says lawmakers worked together on the spending bill.
It came through bipartisan and bicameral negotiations, offers compromises for both parties. This kind of cooperation best serves the American people.
While Republican New Jersey Congressman Rodney Frelinghuysen, the House Appropriations Committee chairman, says the House is doing its job by passing the spending bill.
Today is a vote to keep the government open and to make and get back to an appropriations process, which is our responsibility under the Constitution of the power of the purse. Let's take it and use it wisely.
On Wall Street, the Dow by 8 points. This is SRN News.
This is AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station, a service of Salem Media Group.
KPRZ, San